Thanks for joining us for another Lancaster Baptist podcast. We believe the Word of God is the infallible, eternal truth that is needed in this generation. Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season." It's my prayer that the doctrinal encouragement of today's message will be a great blessing in your life. Thanks again for taking time to join with us.
Acts 14:7. "And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand upright on thy feet.' And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, in the speech of Lyconia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.' And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. And the chief priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the new schedule and for everyone's remembering and working together for such a great event. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this year, bless the reading and the preaching of your word today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. One of the most exciting days in church history was when the missionary movement began in Acts chapter 13. What a great thing to consider the Spirit of God calling missionaries to go to other places to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Missionary movement did not begin with a denomination or a parachurch organization. It began in the heart of a church like this, where people were striving together for the Lord. Now, to get the context of missions, look, if you would, at Acts chapter 13 very quickly, or in your notes there, Acts 13, 1 and 2, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul." Now this church at Antioch was an international church, people from all different cultures and backgrounds, and they were there together, a called out group of believers. Look at verse 2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted." Now let me just stop right there. They were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting. We're here worshiping the Lord today. We mentioned fasting earlier in the service. So we're following a New Testament pattern. And at the church at Antioch, they were worshiping the Lord, they were fasting, and it says, "The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" So here we see people worshiping together, listening to the Holy Spirit together, and Paul and Barnabas being sent out together where they would faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's exciting to think about Christianity on the move, people striving together with faithfulness for the Lord. Now, some of you have studied the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. There's a map in the back of your Bible, something like the one here on the screen, that will help you realize the movement of the gospel westward. Starting with Antioch, Syria, Paul traveled to the island of Cyprus, over to the mainland of modern-day Turkey. He went up to Antioch, Pisidia, Iconium, and came to Lystra. And today we're going to learn about the ministry at Lystra, where the Apostle Paul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to learn that he went there with his friend Barnabas and the church of Antioch at Syria behind them all the way. They were striving together for the faith of the gospel. And they were friends for the gospel's sake. Now let me say by way of introduction, in this world in which we live, we don't always know who our real friends are. We sometimes have friends that we work with, friends we play softball with, friends we collect with or whatever. But I believe today we're going to get a picture of the purpose of Christian friendship. I read in USA Today this past week about a woman by the name of Simone Back. Simone Back was a woman who lived in London, and she had a Facebook account with 1,048 friends. On her Facebook account, she would share little tidbits of information and tell what she was doing, and people would check in and so forth. Simone Back, however, on Christmas Day, just a few weeks ago, wrote on her Facebook account the following words: "I took all of my pills. I should be dead soon. Goodbye, everyone." Of her 1,048 friends, not one single one of them tried to intervene to save her life. Two or three of them goaded her to go ahead and to take her life. One of the psychologists that was interviewed by the USA Today paper said, and I quote, "I think the problem with Facebook is exactly what people love about it. Anonymity with no social responsibility. If someone posts something that doesn't interest you or you don't like or can't relate to, then you don't have to do anything. I think a lot of people use the social networking sites as a band-aid for real intimacy." What a tragedy that a woman with 1,048 friends committed suicide while nobody tried to intervene. Now, I realized this morning that sometimes Christians can disappoint. I realize sometimes Christian friends can disappoint, but I'm thankful this morning that we have the privilege as a called out assembly of believers to band together, to strive together faithfully this year for the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we do that with faithfulness and integrity in the new year. Well, after a wonderful ministry in the other cities, the Bible tells us in Acts 14 that Paul now comes to Lystra. And it was here that God was going to use him in a way that is amazing to behold. So let's dig into it this morning as we learn how to strive together faithfully for the Lord. Notice, first of all, that Paul and Barnabas were together in their purpose. They were together in their purpose. And I want you to see their purpose in verse 7. It says, "And there they preached the gospel." Now, would you read verse 7 with me? Ready, begin. "And there they preached the gospel." Look at those two words, "and there." That really describes their ministry. Everywhere they went, they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Paul said, "Wherever I go, I want my purpose to be gospel-centered. I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." And the word here, "preach," means to give glad tidings. Everywhere they went, they were preaching the word of God. What a blessing this year to band together, yea, to strive together for the same purpose. And whether we're giving in the offering, teaching a class, singing in the choir, encouraging our care group, whatever we're doing in ministry here, the purpose is for the good news, the word of God, going forward. So the purpose was to preach the word. Notice, secondly, the purpose was to publish good news. To publish good news. Now look at Acts chapter 13, verse 46. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.'" Notice in verse 49, "And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." Now, would you say that verse with me, please? Ready, begin. "And the word of the Lord was throughout all..." Now, I want you to know as we begin this year at Lancaster Baptist Church that we unapologetically state as our purpose to spread the word of God, to publish the good news throughout all of this region. Lancaster, Palmdale, Edwards, Acton, Mojave, Santa Clarita, everywhere publishing the good news. Whether that is with the distribution of gospel tracts like the ones that are in the foyer every single week, or whether it is right now the contract that we're working on to have New Testament copies of the Bible printed and so that we can go from house to house with the gospel gift. We exist as a church and together for the purpose of preaching the word of God and publishing the good news throughout our region, even as Paul did throughout the region known as Asia Minor in his day. That's what he did in Ephesus. The Bible tells us in Acts 20 and verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. We are together in the purpose of publishing the good news and spreading the word of God as never before. The word of the Lord was published. May I say this? The message of salvation was delivered. Paul went from place to place to place, telling people you must be born again, telling people that Jesus Christ died for their sin. Notice that, if you would, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, 3, notice this. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now let me pause right here. If you're seated here under the sound of my voice and you have never known that your sins are forgiven and you do not know that heaven is your eternal home, you are not 100% sure that you're a child of God, you must hear me this morning. Jesus Christ died for your sins. And we must trust in Christ alone, for there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Please hear me today. The Baptist church cannot wash your sins away. The water in that baptistry cannot wash your sins away. No priest sprinkling you with water can take your sins away. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ have our sins been cleansed away. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse 3, Christ died for our sins, verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Thank God that we have the purpose of publishing that good news. My wife and I yesterday had the joy of going to a neighborhood and going from house to house, inviting people to church and giving the good news and asking people if they knew for sure that Jesus was their Savior. And as we went to one door, there was a sign on the front of the door, and it had the picture of something like a female statue, and it had some writing underneath the picture. And the writing underneath the picture said, Our Lady of Guadalupe, please protect this house. No doubt that was placed there with sincerity of heart. But I could not help but think, even 2,000 years ago, as Paul went to Lystra, he was ministering to people who worshiped pagan deities and worshiped female pagan deities. They prayed to the goddess of Aphrodite. They prayed in some cities to the goddess Athena. And they asked these goddesses somehow in their mystical way to bless and help and protect. And here we are 2,000 years later, and people are praying to ladies and asking so-called saints to protect them and to protect their house. And I say to you, if it was important 2,000 years ago to publish the truth of the gospel, it is still needed today that we would publish the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because my friend, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, He will be your protector, your rock, your shield, and your salvation. You won't need to ask the Lady of Guadalupe to protect you when you know Jesus is your Savior. You see. And so we strive together with this purpose to publish the glad tidings that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And Lancaster Baptist Church, we're marching into this year together in our purpose. But notice secondly, Paul and Barnabas were not only together in their purpose, but I want you to think of this with me. They were together in their persecution. I don't want to be pessimistic, but if you decide to march on for Jesus this year, if you decide to publish the good words of God this year, there will come days when people will not always be kind to you. There will be difficulties that come. And in this part of our message, we see that the Apostle Paul, despite his glorious mission, he was misunderstood, he was persecuted, he was stoned and left outside the city because of his faith for Jesus Christ. Now, how did that happen? Let's take a look at it. Notice, first of all, there is a demonstration of God's power at Lystra. The demonstration of God's power. Now, the Bible tells us in verse number 8, there was a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And I want you to just take a moment to let that sink in. Sometimes we hear about so-called faith healers. By the way, if there is a faith healer alive on the planet today, I wish they'd go to every hospital and get busy. Now, we believe that Jesus can heal. Don't misunderstand me. We believe the apostles had been given this power from the Lord himself. But we're not talking about someone who threw away their cane for an hour and had to pick it back up after the crusade. We're not talking about someone who was healed from something you couldn't substantiate. Look at what it says about this man. He was impotent in his feet. He was crippled from his mother's womb. He had never walked. In three different ways, the Holy Spirit says, this man had a real kind of a problem. But the Bible then says that when he heard Paul speak, Paul perceived his faith, and he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, verse 10, and the man leaped and walked. And so we see here a demonstration of real power from God. Now, while we do not possess miraculous powers for healing today, there is an application. And the application is that all of us need God's power in our life and ministry, whether it's soul winning, whether it's parenting, whether it's serving God. Every one of us need to pray for a measure of the power of God to serve Him. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. My friend, I thank God that I serve a God who can do anything but fail, and that He has great power today to restore marriages, to build churches, to do His work in this era. I heard about a young boy that got on an airplane and he sat down next to a seminary professor. The young boy had his Sunday school notes in his lap, and the seminary professor looked at that and he thought he'd have a little fun. And he said to the boy, he said, son, he said, if you can tell me one thing that God can do, I'll give you a shiny red apple. The little boy thought about it. He looked up at the man and he said, sir, he said, if you can tell me something that God can't do, I'll give you a whole basket of apples. He was a young man persuaded of the power of his God. By the way, sometimes our children convict us because they believe God can do anything. And my friends, God can do anything. And we must rely on His power in ministry in 2011. The demonstration of God's power. Well, the man was completely healed. But I want you to notice, secondly, the deflection of false worship. Now, something really weird happens. And stick with me and follow with me in the Bible. Look at what happens. Verse 11. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Now, remember a minute ago I said that the people at Lystra and in the first century were very superstitious. They worshiped the pagan gods, Zeus, Apollo. They worshiped in these temples made with stones of man's hands. And so apparently there was some folklore at Lystra that the gods of Zeus and Hermes would come down to them incognito, and that they were to be watching all the time for these gods to arrive. And so the Bible says they supposed Barnabas was Jupiter and Paul was Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. And these people come and they begin to worship Paul. In fact, notice it says in verse 13, they brought oxen and garlands to the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Here we see false worship ascribed. They're going, wow, they healed this man. Let's worship Paul and worship Barnabas. But notice, if you will, false worship rejected. Verse number 14, the Bible says, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God. Now listen very carefully. If Paul wanted, and if Barnabas wanted a life of ease, they could have had it at Lystra. They could have stopped right there and said, Barnabas, look at this. They think we're gods. They're bringing us food. They're worshiping us. Maybe they'll give us everything we'd ever wanted. If that was what motivated them, they could have had it made, because these superstitious people thought these guys were like pagan gods. But there was something much more important to the Apostle Paul and Barnabas as they were striving together. The thing that was more important was that they would be faithful to the truth of the Word of God. And so when they saw what was going on, they rent their clothing, which was a Jewish sign of rejection of what was happening. And they said, we will not take this worship, and we will not take your praise. And they deflected the praise back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Humbly they continued serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And he said to them, you must turn from your vanity. Why? Because any religion without Christ is a vain, empty religion. And so it was. The demonstration of God's power was real. The man was healed. The deflection of praise was real. They said, don't worship us, worship Creator God. But notice thirdly, the danger of preaching Christ. Remember being together in persecution? I want you to see what happens here to Paul in verse 19, an amazing turn of events. Acts 14, 19, please. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, those were the earlier cities on the journey, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now please put this in your mind. The same people who were saying, oh, Paul and Barnabas, you're the great hope, and you're the great healers, and bring the calf, and bring the garland. The same people who were worshiping now are picking up rocks because some troublemakers came, and now they're stoning the Apostle Paul and leaving him outside the city for dead. These Facebook friends who were curious but not really loving the man, who were curious but not really loving the Lord, when the time came, they were easily turned. And I want you to recognize in your Christian life, don't be discouraged from time to time as you're trying to live for the Lord. If sometimes people that you thought were your friends will not be your friends like they once were, especially because you are trying to stand for the Lord. For the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What a tragic moment. The Apostle Paul, who was just trying to preach the gospel, is taken now, and rock by rock, his bones are breaking. The blood is coming out. He's thrown outside of the city. They left him there. They thought he was dead. And I might tell you that that was the way of many Christians in the first century. Some of you have heard of Titus. Have you ever read the book of Titus in the New Testament? Titus was a preacher boy, if you will, of the Apostle Paul. Titus was sent to the island of Crete, one of the southernmost islands of Greece. And as he was sent there, Paul said, Titus, I want you to set in order the things that are wanting. I want you to take care of the churches there. And so Titus went and he preached and preached and preached. And he preached there until 105 AD. He died at the age of 94, a faithful preacher of the Word of God. Well, some years later, in fact, about 146 years later, a man by the name of Trajan Decius was sent from Rome. He was to be the governor over Crete, and as he went in as a Roman appointed governor to the island of Crete, he made an edict for the suppression of Christianity. And he said to the bishops or pastors at Crete, he said, I want every one of you to come and make a sacrifice to the emperor of Rome. And so these men, the second generation descendants of Titus, they were called to make sacrifice to Rome. And listen, they refused to make sacrifice to Rome as men of God. And for that, they were martyred. And to this day, you can read the history of Crete and you'll read about the 10 insurmountable martyrs who gave their lives for Jesus Christ. And those from the Byzantine era during the 3rd and 4th centuries wrote concerning these martyrs, and they said this, Titus produced a church that did not melt. When those men were facing martyrdom, all they had to do was offer sacrifice to the Roman emperor. They said, we will not bow down to the Roman emperor. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave their lives rather than give up the truth. And they stood faithfully together as they were striving for the faith. By the way, do you know that there are people on this planet today paying a similar price? State Department official Philip Crowley said this past week, we are deeply concerned about the rise of violence against Christians in Africa and the Middle East. It doesn't get enough news, but the fact is, Christians are persecuted every day on this planet. Persecution.com reported, Iran has arrested a number of missionaries and vowed to detain more of them. Apparently, according to Sharia law, if someone converts from Islam, they are punished by death for turning to Jesus Christ and away from Mohammed. And every day in the world in which we live, people who simply want to follow Jesus Christ are being persecuted. I just want to remind you that sometimes living for Jesus is not as easy as we'd like it to be. And isn't it embarrassing how little it takes for some Christians in America to be discouraged when it comes to serving God? I don't think any of you have ever been stoned. I don't know that any of you have ever had a rock even thrown at you. I know very few people have ever been fired for being a Christian. I'm simply saying today that if we would stop and think about it, yes, some trials and persecutions come, but let's remember to pray for those who are really suffering for their faith this morning. Paul and Barnabas were together in their purpose. They were together when the persecution came. Notice thirdly, they were together in their persistence. Together in their persistence. Would you notice this in verse 20? One of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now notice, first of all, they were together around him. Try to put the picture in your mind. Over here, outside the city, is Paul the Apostle laying under a pile of rocks. They thought he was dead. Now, a tiny band of believers, the church of Lystra, primitive as they were, nevertheless believers in Jesus Christ, they gather round. And history records that Timothy was from Lystra, and probably one of the first things Timothy ever saw about ministry was a man lying in a pool of blood. There they were, ladies and men and teenage boys like Timothy, looking and thinking he was dead. By the way, thank God for Christians who care for other Christians. Thank God that if he would have died, he wouldn't have died alone. Thank God for Christians who pray for one another, who pray for their pastor, who pray for missionaries, who care to be around when they are needed. Thank God somebody was there. And they gathered round him. They were together around him. But notice, secondly, they were together with him. Barnabas was there. The early church was there. And I want you to see something amazing in verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. Would you say that with me, please? He rose up. Say it again. He rose up. He rose up. He rose up. The Bible says he rose up and he came into the city. Amazing. The fact, first of all, that he rose up. Amazing. I perhaps can hear Timothy as he speaks to his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, and he says, I think I see his hand moving. I think I see his foot moving. Mom, he's rising up. He's standing up. I want to tell you, friends, some of you this morning had a tough year in 2010, and the finances got you down, and friends perhaps hurt you, and difficulties came. And truth of the matter is, though you're here this morning, you're laying down in a rock pile somewhere, and it's time to get up. Paul rose up. If that's all he had done, I would have been amazed. But I want you to see, secondly, he rose up, and the Bible says he came into the city. Listen, friends, we cannot be afraid of confrontation. We cannot be afraid of trouble when it comes, or someone that's mean to us when we witness. Paul went right back to Lystra, right back to his persecutors, and he went right back to preaching the Word of God. God give us some men in this room with some grit in their craw and some convictions in their heart who will not cower and who will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I just want to praise God this morning that the man got up and that he went back to doing what he was supposed to doing. And I want to challenge some of you this morning, get out of your rock pile, get out of your pity pile, get up and get back to being the godly husband and the godly wife and the godly Sunday school class member and care group leader and soul winner, or whatever it is that God has called you to do. Don't lay in a pile of rocks this year. Get up and get back to doing what you're supposed to do. Learn something from these people of the first century who were striving together with one purpose, who were striving together when persecution came. Oh, they would not quit. They were striving together with persistency. I want you to see something else. I told you it's an amazing verse. Verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and he came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Amazing. Amazing. Try to get the picture in your mind. From Lystra to Derbe was 40 miles. I mean, 12 hours from having been laying in a rock pile, no doubt broken bones, no doubt bleeding, now he's going to walk 40 miles. Why? Because Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And my friend, the best way to answer your critic is to accomplish your task. And what your critic wants to do and your enemy wants you to do and the devil wants you to do is just lay down on those rocks and never rear your head again. But thank God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he got up, he kept preaching, and the next day he went 40 miles to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. And what was he doing as he was out there with those Christians? He was doing what I'm trying to do this morning. Look at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Notice this. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. By the way, how many of you think the Apostle Paul was qualified to say that? No one was going to come up to him. Well, you just don't understand, Paul. My husband's very mean. It's hard to say that to a man who's bleeding. Hard to say that to a guy that's just been stoned, to tell him that you've got it harder than he's got it. You don't understand, Paul. My wife's not very supportive. I think that perhaps just looking at Paul, all of our little problems would go away. I don't think anybody would say, well, Paul, I have a very hard boss, and if I even try to pray, he's going to fire me. I don't think there would be one excuse that would stand before him, much less someday before Jesus Christ. He just went around encouraging them to be faithful. Acts 18:23 describes it this way. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country, Galatia and Phrygia, in order, strengthening all the disciples, doing everything he could to strengthen and to encourage them. And I want to challenge you this morning as we consider our theme for 2011, that we would strive together with one purpose, to preach the gospel, to publish glad tidings, that we would strive together when persecution comes, saying, hey, don't give up, get up out of the rubble. Hey, don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your teenager. Don't give up on soul winning. Don't give up on church. Hey, when the persecution comes, the church needs to be the church and help people back in, you see. And then we need to be persistent. When those rocks are flying, when the days are hard, some of us need to just get up and keep on going and do what we know God has called us to do. I like how Paul wrote about this as I close, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure, speaking of Jesus and the gospel, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that's you and me, that the excellency of the power, that's what I spoke about a moment ago, may be of God and not of us. You see, the great thing about the Christian life is not me, it's Him. We have the treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul said, hey, if I'm suffering, if someone's hitting me, beating me, but Jesus is seen through me, then praise the Lord, because I'm just an earthen vessel. His power is what really counts. And I want to challenge you in the new year with your family, with your church family, with your Sunday school class, with your local church, that we would strive together for the purpose of the gospel, that we would strive together when persecution comes, and that we would strive together with persistency, being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ until we see Him again.
Once again, I want to thank you for joining with us for today's message. Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.